This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, The Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
This is Vic Police Community Hour with Electra Welland, and I'm Greg Aikens from the Anti-Violence Project, but you're not from the Anti-Violence Project, Electra, you're from the Victoria Police.
I am, and it's just the two of us today, which is a strange concept. Every time I'm in, there's usually a minimum of three to four people in here. So
with thousands listening, because you're a very important part of this conversation. This hour is produced by Joy 94.9 in conjunction with the Anti-Violence Project, Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, but the most important part are the listeners of Joy 94.9. Today's show, Electra, we should have an exciting show today.
It is. It's our Victoria Police Community Hour on Joy, and it's really about the AVP today, but we certainly have some information from Victoria Police to give out to everyone and our listeners, so we're very lucky to have you all out there and being a part of the program, so we thank you for that.
And coming up from the Anti-Violence Project, we're going to talk about two interesting things today. First thing is, there's a collaboration taking place between gay and lesbian community groups, and we hope to have Anna Brown, the convener of the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, join us on the phone and have a discussion about a collection of stories about people's experiences of homophobic harassment and prejudice crime that we're trying to gather out in community. We're going to talk to her more about what it is she wants and why this collection of community groups, including the Anti-Violence Project, wants to have these stories.
Yeah, basically we're looking at people's story from every suburb, every sort of rural town, as well as possibly that we can get around these stories. And it really helps us. Anything like this helps Victoria Police have a greater understanding of the community too. So that's why we're supporting that as much as we can. Because without that information that comes in these stories, are we able to improve some of the things that there might be feedback that people actually have about their involvement with Victoria Police or in the general community as well?
Very good. Also on the phone, we hope to have all the way from Tasmania joining us, the acting president of the National Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Intersex Health Alliance, Susan Ditter. We hope to talk to her a little bit about the forthcoming Health Indifference Conference coming up next year, but in organisational phase now, and how everyone in Victoria can be part of planning for this fabulous LGBTI health conference taking place in Melbourne and the roles that you might want to play. So Susan will join us a bit later as well. It's important because the Anti-Violence Project's a key partner in the National Health Alliance Homophobia and Prejudice Crime feature amongst health indicators for our community. So it's very important that we engage.
Absolutely. And that's where Victoria Police rely on the community, and especially like work that's underdone by La Trobe and a lot of other universities to really feed and warrant justification of having GLOWS and certainly from the community. It's no good just having the community saying, oh, yeah, we need you. We certainly need to see that why is it that you require GLOWS services? And part of that, I mean, Victoria Police has that investment in it, but it's also about the community, about what they want.
Now, we thought, what better way to start a bit of music? We've got Michael Jackson, we've got Dangerous. What else would you play on a Victoria Police GLOWS show?
I've got a good lineup today, I must say.
Here on Joy 94.9, stay with us. A whole hour of the Victoria Police Community Hour. Anti-Violence Project Police, Crime Stoppers, but especially you.
The Anti-Violence Project has turned 15. Step up pressure on homophobic harassment. Become a key contact for AVP Connect in rural towns and regional cities, linking our community with the AVP wherever you live. Help the AVP run a series of forums targeting relationship violence and the racism among us. Support our violence reporting service and help educate police and the broader community. And remember, report violence each and every time it happens to you or to those around you.
Call the police on 000, and when safe, contact the AVP via the website antiviolence.info. That's antiviolence.info.
You're on the Victoria Police Community Hour partnership show between Joy 94.9, Victoria Police GLOWS, the Anti-Violence Project, Crime Stoppers,
yep.
But especially you, because we rely on everyone out there in our community banding together, whether you're the L, the G, the B, the T, or you're part of the intersex community that is struggling to be part of the heterosexual world but identify with our community as well. We want you to be part of this conversation.
We do. And our first Crime Stop as a part of our partnership is actually in my neck of the woods, Brimbank. Theft and assault in Deer Park. We wish to speak to two men in relation to a theft and an assault at Safeway in Brimbank Plaza on the 5th of April this year. It is alleged that one of the men has pulled a knife on a security guard, and when he confronted them after stealing some beauty products from the store, the man threatened the guard with a knife and described him as being in his early 20s with medium build, brown eyes, dark hair, olive complexion, and was wearing a black jacket with a red maroon collared shirt underneath. The second man is described to be in his late teens with slim build, brown eyes, dark hair, dark complexion, and was wearing a black t-shirt with track pants. We've released an image of a man, and two of them actually, who we believe may be able to assist us in inquiries. And the case reference for this is CA6208. And of course, you can go onto Crime Stoppers on crimestoppers.com.au and have a look at those photos. But we've got, again, really great clear photos there and distinctive type t-shirts, really.
You might be out at the Brimbank area. You might live around that way, as many in the gay and lesbian community do. You might have friends that work at Safeway. There's actually quite a contingent of gays and lesbians that work in service industries out that way. And you might recognise these men who were walking past your business or through your business, through your establishment, at around about the same time on the 5th of April, in just a short few months ago. And if you do, you may have the key, the missing key, to solve this particular crime.
Spot on. And especially if you're transiting or a commuter in the area as well, you think about all the public transport that you use around that area as well. So just to and from places, even to a sport, you may see these people. And that's what we're really asking for. If you see something, say something, as we always say.
The reference number, of course, is CA6208. And how do they go about searching for that reference number, Electra?
Well, searching for it, well, you go onto the website, which we mentioned before, is crimestoppers.com.au, and you go onto the Victorian link, and you click onto the Victorian link, and then there's a search, and you can just put in that search, CA space 6208, and that will bring that offence up straight away.
Now, the pictures are particularly good. One's quite clear, and you'll be able to see that, you know, the man with his hair over his forehead, quite distinctive hair style, and a motif on his t-shirt. The other man has longish hair, but it's swept back, more of a forehead showing, and a scarf. So you'll find it's quite easy to see these men, and if you've seen them before, or if you see them again, you'll recognise them from these two photos.
Yeah, and one thing we don't talk a lot of, but if you have any knowledge concerning any wanted person or any other crimes on Crime Stoppers, you can be eligible up to a cash reward up to $1,000 for any information leading to an arrest. And we don't talk a lot about that, but right down at the bottom on every single Crime Stoppers we read out, there's a little clause there where you don't have to give your name, and callers can allocate a code number, and it's ongoing contact with police, including a point of payment of reward.
That's fantastic. There's the encouragement. But the overall encouragement isn't just the monetary value. It's about making things safe. If people in service industries are robbed, if there's theft from those industries, a large chunk are gay and lesbian people that work in service industries, and we're looking after our own as well as looking after the broad community. So remember, always, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on the Vic Police Community Hour here on Joy 94.9 with Electra Wellens from Victoria Police Close and Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project.
Now, speaking about people getting involved, Victoria Police have iWatch. I think most users are on Facebook nowadays or on Twitter, etc. So you can check out Victoria Police news via Facebook and Twitter as well and get involved in conversations around about issues in your local community. But in particular, we have iWatch. You might ask, what is iWatch? Well, it's actually a Facebook page that enables community to engage with their local police. And it's actually, at the moment, we're trialling 6 iWatch pages. Geelong, Yarra Ranges, Darebin, Brimbank and Hobson Bay are right across Victoria public transport system as well. So there's one for the public transport system, really, and that's everywhere, let's face it. So iWatch actually aims to empower the community to participate in crime prevention and community safety activities 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I guess over the last few months, we've talked a lot about what Crime Stoppers are doing with technology, being able to report things, download pictures onto your phone, take phone, and you can upload photos of a crime as well. So we're getting very, very savvy. But this is a trial where we really want a local issue. So if you're on the public transport and using it daily, we'd really ask you to get involved and have a look what are the issues. And we post Crime Stoppers, we post actual tips, a lot of other issues that come up right around Victoria. We might post information on missing persons, we appeal for witnesses, we release images of wanted persons or stolen property, and we also provide those community safety tips.
Now, Jem this morning, Electra, Jem that I saw pop in, it woke me up actually around about, it was probably about 8 o'clock in the morning. It was the Yarra Rangers iWatch police service area, and they reported that at 5:45 a.m. they detected a 29-year-old Yarra Glen man at 136 kilometres an hour in the 80-kilometre speed limit on Melba Highway Coldstream. And the vehicle was impounded for 30 days, and the guy's going to have to spend $821 to collect his car and come all the way to West Footscray to get it out of the yard.
Exactly. And this is why it's really important to get engaged locally, because you might know this particular person, and it might be some satisfaction knowing that he's actually being caught. Often enough, you might see a Hoon vehicle, and we have a Dob in a Hoon line through Crime Stoppers as well. We have all that information. But this is really where we want you to get involved. You want, it's not a place to report crimes. Of course, that's about a police station and going through the or the AVP and all those sort of things where you're reporting information. But this is actually about getting engaged, letting us know what your issues are so we might be able to address them. It's actually getting to know, when we come here on the show, we talk about really the big stories, but often enough there's lots of local issues and lots of local stories happening in and around your area that we don't get to air. And that's why iWatch or the Facebook pages really set apart how you can get involved.
Their motto is local solutions for local problems. And I reckon that's a pretty good motto for engaging the community. And the best part, I think from the anti-violence project's perspective, is this builds trust and builds confidence between the community, the broader community, and the Victoria Police. We've been searching for ways to engage, and we've found some successful ways to partner with the police and break down those barriers that existed from outside influence by poor policing in the past, but also by residual values in our gay community and lesbian community, where people were victimised. They truly were victimised back in the 60s or 70s or earlier, or even the 80s, and they felt they weren't confident in talking to a police force that they felt were exactly like the people that were inappropriately policing them way back then.
Absolutely.
Things have changed though, haven't they?
Yeah. And you know what I've really noticed, like being involved in the Brimbank one, and I go on to the other ones to check and see what's happening around there as well. And we often enough share stories between us all as well, which is really fantastic. But what it's really lovely to see from my perspective of being a GLOW officer as well, is when you see someone's profile, they've got a rainbow flag there or whatever, and they're actually engaged in conversations locally, and they're actually making a statement to the rest of the community as well, that they're being heard. And I think that's just a wonderful statement to actually see that when someone's doing that in the public sphere. And in particular, there's an individual in Hobson Bay that really gets involved and does that statement through a rainbow flag on their profile picture. And I love it. I think it's just fantastic because it sends that message that they're involved.
So check it out, iWatch. And it's a Facebook page that is covering six areas. It's iWatch Facebook. iWatch Facebook in Geelong, Yarra Rangers, Darabin, Brimbank, Hobson's Bay, and across the Victorian public transport system. So check that out. We've got a bit more music here on the Vic Police Community
Hour. Let's bring it on, because we've got some good ones.
Stay with us. This is the Vic Police Community Hour with Electra Wellens from Victoria Police Close and Greg Adkins from from the Anti-Violence Project. And now we've got another crime here, Crime of the Week, which is the Crime of the Week. And it's an armed robbery in Ascot Vale on the 15th of April in 2012, just a few short months ago. Crime Stoppers is looking for a man wearing a skeleton costume and armed with a sawn-off rifle who held up a service station in Ascot Vale. Just after 5 a.m. on Sunday the 15th of April, the man entered the Caltex service station at the intersection of Epsom and Maribyrnong Roads while a second man kept watch. The man allegedly threatened a staff member and stole cash and cigarettes. Both men then fled the store and ran away along Epsom Road. The man the police are looking for is described as being over 183 centimetres, which is 6 foot tall, with a medium build and had an Australian accent. He was wearing a distinctive hooded jumper with a skeleton print which zipped over the face. Police have released an image of the man whom they believe may be able to assist them with their inquiries, and an image of the same brand of hooded jumper the man was wearing. And Crime Stoppers can be contacted on 1-800-333-000, or you can visit crimestoppers.com.au and you can type in the reference number CA6223. Now, Electra, this is quite a distinct jacket or jumper the man's used.
Yeah, it is. In fact, there's two photos there. One is actually obviously someone in there staging the costume, and in particular the hood or the skull area, the way it's covered up is a very distinct sort of hood, the way the seam comes over and the eye sockets. So it's... I don't know if it's like a hoodie that's pulls over or what that may be, but it's very, very distinct, that's for sure.
There's a number of these. I saw a number this morning on Facebook that have a similar style of zipping the collar up and it forms a unit over the head.
That's right.
But I haven't seen this skeleton one before. It's quite unique. It's worth checking it out, folks. Crimestoppers.com.au, 6223 is the number, CA6223. Worth checking it out. If you're in a store that sells this type of clothing, you may be able to solve this crime by providing some sort of indication to police of who the types of people that have been purchasing this particular piece of equipment. It would have been purchased before the 15th of April 2012, maybe even between Christmas and April. It could be one of those things people buy for Christmas and give to a family member, or it could be something that a person has bought exclusively to conduct this particular crime.
That's right.
We don't really know.
No.
But if you're in a retail store and you sell this particular garment, you might be out there and be able to find that $1,000 reward comes your way if it leads to the apprehension
of
the person.
And during the offence, which is quite interesting, like when we're saying a skeleton costume, there's two parts to his clothing. There's a hooded part that forms like the skull, which is quite interesting. He's actually put another top over the top of that, so you can't actually see the skeletal design in the in a photo where he's brandishing a sawn-off shotgun. So it forms two parts. So someone could have that zipped undone or the hood pulled back, and they may have seen someone that was wearing a blue top with a funny-looking hood at the back as well. So that's something you wouldn't realise. It's a full skeletal sort of top that we're looking at. So that's why we always encourage you to go onto crimestoppers.com.au. Case reference again is CA6223. Put it in the search under Victoria and that'll bring it up straight away and have a good look.
The part that concerns me is not just the, you've got a gun, you're threatening a person, you're robbing them, but you're assaulting them with a weapon that could damage someone. The fear that must go into a person's mind is extraordinary. But then you put this mask on. You're actually playing to fears and you're covering your face and you're making it even more of a situation. This person needs to have a conversation with police, and please get out there and check out this Crime Stoppers report and assist the police to have a conversation with him or her.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, we actually don't know if it's a man. I mean, it says it's a man.
Well, that's right.
One can assume it's a man from the voice or whatever.
That's right, yeah. And they've got CCTV there as well, so there'll be a recording. So we've just taken... This is what always happens in Crime Stoppers, where we take still shots, the best possible shot out of the CCTV, when we're describing particular stance or a particular clothing as well, or a face. We try and get the best angle as we possibly can.
Now, you're on the Vic Police Community Hour. Stay with us here on the Vic Police Community Hour, Greg Atkins and Electra Wellens. Now, we want to talk a little bit about Health Indifference 2013, which is coming up. It's the 8th National LGBTI Health Conference, Our Bodies, Our Minds. And this is where I want you to just briefly keep us listening on air or streaming and walk over, grab your pen and bit of paper and jot this down and stick it to the fridge. You've got to write down 18th to the 20th of April in 2013. That is a must do if you're in any way interested in health, LGBTI health. And that picks up the issues of homophobic harassment, prejudice, motivated crime, because they're two strong vectors that actually impact our health and well-being. And the Andy Vollins Project is part of the organising committee that's pulling that together. Now, there are expressions of interest that are being sought for those who'd like to join the various working groups, particularly sponsorship, programming, scholarships, promotion and evaluation. Now, what would they be, Electra? What do you think sponsorship? That's pretty well, that's what is going to keep the wheels on the rails with the conference. There needs to be enough funding to come in to cover it, because, just as the Anti-Violence Project's self-funded, we don't get any government money, the LGBTI Health Alliance doesn't have any funding coming in for this particular conference, so we have to generate it ourselves. And that's my interest in that is, as the Anti-Violence Project head, I'm elected by Victorian community LGBTI groups, and I'm on the National national board of the LGBTI Health Alliance. So that's how it fits in, how the AVP has that connection. Now, sponsorship, we're going to need people that are interested in networking, in developing sponsorship leads, in building relationships and building sponsor relationships once the sponsors come on board, so they're updated and they feel confident that they're part of a very vibrant conference.
Absolutely. And we've just had over the weekend, on the long weekend, a conference here. Well, it's actually the Mind and Body over the 3-day weekend down at Jeff's Shed down there. And you think about those sort of sponsors, when it covers our minds and our bodies, there must be some fantastic sponsors that are out there, or you know, perhaps that you work somewhere, and this could really fit in really well to get some high-profile linkages in with the LGBTI community.
You may even run remedial massage or have some form of therapeutic practice where you're part of working with LGBTI community, and now's time for you to step up and put your some of your profits, a small amount of your profits, where your heart and mind are. And I remember that when I had a business with my then partner in LGBTI community, we used to put between $25,000 and $30,000 a year of our turnover back into LGBTI community in the way of sponsorships and donations. So this is your chance to step up and be part of it. The other part of, if you're there in preparing conference programs and agendas, you might be a brilliant planner and want to be a person that helps plan a conference, building sessions. Mm. You might want to be, perhaps you've studied this year, you haven't been part of anything before, and this is a chance for you to get your first run of a national conference, a major conference, but in the LGBTI space. Step up and be part of it. Or you might be a graphic artist or designer and want to step up and help develop flyers and brochures. You might be a student that's learning Photoshop.
Event planning, like we said, Photoshop, right. Computer skills, presentation, the list goes on to the behind the scenes, hospitality even, if you think about it. There's a whole variety of skills, and you mentioned before about the amount of LGBTI community that work in the service industry, and this fits into there as well because it's service about health issues as well.
So to find out more about it, simply add this email to that post-it note on your fridge with the date 18th to 20th of April in Melbourne. And the email is info@lgbtihealth.org.au, and express your area of interest. Or if you don't have a particular area of interest, you just want to be part of it, or bring your organisation along if you work for a health service or you work for another gay and lesbian organisation or a straight organisation that wants to partner into gay community, info@lgbtihealth.org.au. We'd love to have you come and play. Especially Anti-Violence Project would like to see you come and play around the issues of homophobic harassment, prejudice, crime, solutions, networks, and we'll have a tranche of our work in the Health and Difference Conference as well.
Fantastic. And we've actually had a couple of messages as well. We've got Mason from Preston, who's said hello and saying, "Hey guys, great show." So thanks, Mason, for that. And we have another one as well, which is from Mount Martha, Betty. Hi, Betty. And wonderful to hear Tina Turner. Great show. Thanks, Greg. And a smiley face.
It is a great show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, stay with us now on Joy 94.9 on the Vic Police Community Hour. You're on the Vic Police Community Hour with the Anti-Violence Project's Greg Atkins, that's me, and Electra Wellens from Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Office.
And it's time for some more Crime Stoppers, and this one is an assault and criminal damage that's occurred in North Melbourne. We are investigating a road rage incident and an assault of a taxi driver in North Melbourne. On Wednesday the 30th of November last year, at around about 25 past midnight it was, a white utility pulled up behind a taxi at the intersection of Williams and Collins Street in the city. Taxi drove on and the ute followed, tooting its horn. They ended up on O'Connell Street in North Melbourne, where the ute overtook and stopped in front of the taxi. It is alleged the two men got out of the ute, approached the taxi driver, and then started an argument. One man grabbed a bottle of vodka from the ute and threw it at the taxi driver's head. The men then got back into the ute and drove it at the victim, directly at them, and then climbed back into the taxi to avoid being hit, so he was just able to escape that car being driven straight at him. The ute mounted the curb and reversed into the taxi, hitting the front right panel before driving off. Both men are described as Caucasian of solid build. A white utility is possibly a Ford Falcon, and the registration is unknown. The case reference for this is CA6045, and again, we've got some CCTV to do with the road rage, and this is pretty, unfortunately, a common thing that's happening around our streets is road rage and aggressive behaviour with cars, and this really typifies a really nasty incident where driving a vehicle at someone deliberately has the potential to kill someone. So really serious.
Do you know what concerns me too, Electra, is with road rage and the behaviour of men in masculinity is it's one step removed from, yes, they're butting cars against each other, yelling at each other, but one small step away from identifying someone weaker than them and being perpetrating behaviour towards those people. And that's where homophobic harassment and prejudice crime comes in. They believe that we're less than they are and they can be aggressive towards us.
It's a real reactive behaviour too, isn't it?
That's right.
It's something that becomes, it really escalates very, very quickly. And in this particular, we don't think about a vehicle being a weapon, but that's exactly what's happened on this occasion where the vehicle has been used as a weapon and how that can actually translate where someone escalates, especially with prejudice motivated crime, how things can quickly escalate very, very quickly, and we really need to keep our surroundings and our personal safety about us at all times.
Now, the Anti-Violence Project took some a couple of people who had been subjected to we thought was an assault of themselves, you know, a verbal assault of themselves and some damage to their property out in Croydon to an Eastern Suburbs police station over the long weekend. And part of the language that the men in that case use is homophobic when they talk to other people. So they, in this case, it wasn't so much homophobic because they thought they were gay people being abused. It was the language directed towards them was homophobic, and it happened that they were gay people that received that language. Mm. So it's about men and masculinity and aggression, where they target other people. In this road rage incident, it's about targeting someone using your vehicle. Sexuality isn't part of it, but the aggression towards another person is, and there's disrespect to another person because you don't believe that they're
and
as
that
important as you.
And that group mentality here too is displayed where there's two against one as well, which is another common theme.
So, Assault and Criminal Damage, North Melbourne, 30th of November, CA6045 on the Crime Stoppers website. And remember, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
We're on the Vic Police Community Hour with the Anti-Violence Project, Joy 94.9, Crime Stoppers. And most importantly, you, because without the listener of Joy 94.9, we don't have a show. And we're there because this is a partnership about dealing with crime, violence and harassment. But also a very special person joining us here in the studio now is the convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, Anna Brown. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, Anna, there's a post going out of right around the networks of community groups talking about the ability of people to step up and share their stories of homophobic harassment and prejudice in a very unique and special way. Tell us about this. Your name's on the bottom of the email.
Sure. Well, we've got a coalition of us, actually, not just my group, but other LGBTIQ organisations across Victoria. We're in the final stages of preparing what we hope will be a groundbreaking television campaign, and we're hoping that campaign will reach every suburb and location in Victoria. And a big part of reaching those different locations will be getting personal stories out there of people from all across Victoria about how homophobic, transphobic and biphobic harassment hurts these individuals and their communities and how it can be challenged and overcome. So we're looking for stories for people from all ages who've experienced homophobic harassment firsthand or who have someone close to them or who know of someone who they've helped or supported to overcome it.
What's homophobic harassment?
Well, it can encompass a range of things, but we're talking about behaviour that's targeting individuals that's motivated in prejudice. So it can be really, it can be violent, it can be, or it can be more subtle, and that harassment is supposed to convey that it may not be, you know, punching someone in the face because they're a poofter, but those insidious, small, sort of low-level type comments and conversations saying, well, you know, well, you would say that you're gay, or not letting a trans person be served at a particular cafe, or not letting a trans person go to a toilet at a particular venue because they don't look like a real woman, for example. Those are all forms of homophobic, transphobic, biphobic harassment.
So at the root of biphobic harassment or transphobic harassment is probably homophobia. because the perpetrator is perceiving them to be, you know, it's rooted in their fear of perhaps same-sex attracted people.
Mm.
And then that extends across to a person that might be bisexual. So they're not afraid of the heterosexual component of a bisexual person, but they're afraid of the same-sex component.
But I think for bi people, it's particularly important to be recognised, because I think they think that they sometimes experience a type of hatred, I guess, that's founded in their bisexuality or their identity as bisexual. So I guess some form of harassment is this accusation that's sometimes levelled at bisexual people, that they haven't made their mind up or they're sitting on the fence, and somehow that's worse than being gay or lesbian.
Does that happen, though, from outside in the heterosexual world, or does that happen more often in the gay and lesbian community towards bisexual people?
I think it can happen in both scenarios, and in each case it's not something that should be tolerated, and we need to be send a strong message that it shouldn't be.
Good. So if you've experienced any of these forms of harassment, your stories are valued and wanted, and wanted now, wherever you are, right across this state. You can email stories@vglr.org.au.
It's a bit of a mouthful, but it's vglrl.org.au. So the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, if you think of that name in your head, it's those initials.
Yeah. Say that one more time, Anna.
stories@vglrl.org.au.
Now, if you haven't got that, you'll be able to hear this on the podcast later today. And we want to thank Mason, who's listening. Mason, who's having a week or two off from the podcasting. Thank you for your great work there.
And also, it's really important here that it's not just that, like, we're talking about these are negative stories and negative experiences, but the other layer to this is if it's happened to you or someone close to you, how it's actually been addressed and what sort of support that you have or that they have received, or could you suggest a more appropriate support that was could be taken place as well? So you think about with a story, the outcome for that. In other words, how could, with a story, there's also by intervention, there can be different outcomes to that. And that's, I guess, we always try and look at it of learning from experiences as well, and how do they not rectify, you know, have the same pattern from occurring.
That's a bit like having a needs analysis or a gaps analysis every time you support someone, isn't it? What was missing? What could have made the situation better for them? What didn't go as smoothly as it could have gone smoothly? How could you improve it? If that was you helping someone next week, next year, how would you improve the situation? And they're positive stories.
Yeah. And I guess we're looking for stories about interactions with enforcement agencies and the law. So did you decide to bring a complaint against a person? Did you not proceed with the complaint for any particular reason? And those sorts of more official avenues, as well as personal experiences and the importance of having that support around you in an emotional and psychological sense.
Anna Brown, that's a fantastic initiative of the Coalition, which Anti-Violence Project is part of as well. But we thank you for your lead on it, reinvigoration of the Rights Lobby since you've come on board, and we appreciate that. What else is happening with the Rights Lobby? How would people get involved and become part of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby?
Well, we're really keen for people to join up. So you can become a member if you go online, and that's that mouthful of a web address again, www.vglrl.org.au. You can find out more about either whether it's just subscribing to our emails, or whether it's coming along to a meeting. We've got our next meeting next Wednesday, so if anyone wants to find out more about that, perhaps get online, go to the website and send us an email, or go to our Facebook page and we put up details of the meetings. So we're very much looking forward to getting more volunteers this year and running some events and running campaigns on issues that matter to our community.
Fantastic. Anna Brown, thank you so much for coming to the Victoria Police Community Hour with the Anti-Violence Project, The Glows, Joy 94.9, and everyone listening out there that's really appreciative of your time today.
Thank you.
Electra Wellens from Victoria Police Glows. Congratulations, too, on being the acting manager of the Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Just until the 14th of July.
Well, that's awesome. And we thank the Chief Commissioner of Police for ensuring that there's this fantastic connection back with gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex community. And Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project. We've just had, and we thank her as well, Anna Brown from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. Brilliant woman. And hopefully one day we'll see her in Parliament, but that's another story. And
work in progress.
And we want to actually share something else with you now. It's about a wanted. The Victoria Police want your help to locate this particular person. A phone call or a visit to their website could be the key to help them finding him. And his name is Timothy Kurt Wode, W-O-D-E. His date of birth is 10th of April 1984. Timothy Wode is 190 centimetres tall. That's quite tall, 6 foot two in the old scale. He's medium build, brown eyes, black hair, and his complexion is described as a medium complexion. The photo that police have provided has a bearded photo, so he may or may not be having facial hair. Couldn't tell. Where is he? Where's Timothy Kurt Wode? It's alleged that Wode was involved in a serious traffic offence in Stawell in April 2011, and warrants for his arrest have been issued. Call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. Why would they be promoting this now, Electra?
We've discussed this regularly around about the issuing of warrants. So after a certain amount of time, we try and locate them. So then the warrants go off to a central bureau, so where anyone can then, any police that come across them can locate that. So we do this regularly over the next few years, or it might be only hopefully a week or so, we might pick this chap up. So we try and do that media releases on a regular basis and circulate them through.
Now stay with us next week. Every week, Victoria Police Community Hour. It's Women's Focus coming up next week. So stay with us 12 noon next Wednesday for the Lesbians Matter part of Victoria Police Community Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Joy.
Joy.
94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.